Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. We have a marvelous verse in the Bible, Luke 7 and verse 34, in which the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is criticized and ridiculed for, get this, being a friend of sinners. Imagine that. This accusation is amazing for at least two reasons. One, the utter unthankfulness of those that said it, and two, the utter wonder of a holy God condescending to be friends with ungodly and sinful people. Yes, when we think of who it was who befriended the unloved and the unlovely, we can only praise and adore the God of salvation. In this week's broadcast, Speaker Peter Ramsey considers the marvel of the friendship of Christ. He's a personal friend, a friend you need to know one-on-one, personally. He's the prodigal's friend. Are you the prodigal he's attempting to start a relationship with? Have you ever acknowledged that you need him? He's a continual friend, one who will never leave us or forsake us. And he's an eternal friend. His is a friendship that will not end at death. So, how about it? Do you have a friend in Jesus? Are you saved?
What you're holding in your hand is the world's best seller. And that's not pulpit propaganda. I read it in the New Yorker magazine, which is a secular magazine, that the Bible, year after year, is the best-selling book in the world. And that article was submitted by Daniel Radoff. He's one of the world's top 25 bloggers. And he's written in the Time magazine and Mademoiselle and many secular magazines. And he himself is an agnostic Jew. So, past year or so, I thought I'm going to email Daniel Radoff and just ask him to confirm his figures. I tracked him down and emailed him about, is the Bible really the best-selling book in the world? I read it in your article. And he wrote me back and he said, without question, it is the best-selling book of the year, every year, he said. And he said, the reason why you don't see it in the New York Times top 10 best-selling books, it would win every year, and so they systematically remove the Bible from the competition, because it would win every year. And it was Daniel Radoff that told me this. He said, that the year that Harry Potter was maxing out as a best-selling book, that very year when Harry Potter books were maxing out, he said twice as many Bibles were sold in the United States of America that same year as Harry Potter books. Now that came from an agnostic. The second closest in the competition is Chairman Mao's Little Red Book in China. They estimate about 900 million, but they can't even put a number on the book. They estimate somewhere between 2.5 billion. Now, the second best was 900 million, and they estimate between 2.5 billion and 6 billion. So if you're a young person in school and you think the Bible is an old book found in dusty museum, just remember that. The Bible is the best-selling book of all times. And the devil has done all in his power to rid the planet of the Bible. And it's still mushrooming sales. So we're looking at it tonight. There's a reason for it, because it's God's Word. And if you've never bowed to God's Word, how can we tell you what you're missing out on? You're missing out on Christ. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And verse 34, They have been attacking the Lord Jesus from every angle, criticizing him of this and that. And the Lord Jesus is responding, and he says, verse 34, the Son of Man, not John the Baptist now, but the Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And I just want to lift out that expression, a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. They were saying it, leveling their accusations against him. You're a friend of sinners. Everyone who is saved this afternoon, we can say, thank God, he is a friend of sinners, and he befriended me in my sins. And they may have been saying it in an accusatory way, but how true it is, he is a friend of sinners. We value friendships, the need to be loved, the need to be connected. Friends can help, friends can hinder. But we all value some human ties. I know some of us may be introverted loners. Some of us might be by nature. I know some of you have many more in your circle of friends, Facebook. But are they true friends? If you're in a car accident, how many of them would give up their job and spend a year with you as you recuperated at home? I know a Christian lady that did that when another Christian had an accident. She quit her job and she spent a whole year. I'd say that's true Christian friendship. But there is a friend that goes beyond the friends that we know on the horizontal. Jesus said, a friend of sinners? Yes, I am. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I am a friend of sinners. God is a relational God. And God has built us different than giraffes and hippopotamuses. Yes, they adorn creation, but God's crown jewel in creation was man. And he designed us to have a vertical relationship with himself that he could enjoy fellowship and communion 24/7. And you know the story, sin came in and severed that. And the fellowship was broken, and the communion was broken. And the great barrier of sin came between man and God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to meet our need in all our sin. Talk about a friend, to leave heaven, to become poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Who am I? There's a hymn that goes that way. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he go for. Who am I? But he did. He went for me. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are my friends, the Lord Jesus said. To think that Christians have been brought into this beautiful relationship. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon. And I can tell you, he is a personal friend. There's so much loneliness out there in this godless world of 7 billion people. And they might have lots of friends on Facebook or on Google Plus. I don't know. Do you have the friend that I have? Can you say the Lord Jesus Christ is my friend? I know him. He saved me months or years ago, and I've been appreciating him as my true friend. I remember there was a point in my career where I just happened to have a couple of people in the Prime Minister's office. I'm not name dropping here, but I worked with them back in PEI, and it's easy, a little problem, the PEI of 140 miles long. It's easy to know people in Ottawa because they have to be there from that little pond of PEI, and they get to Ottawa. Well, I had two friends, two people I knew in the Prime Minister Cretchen's office. And I thought at one point when they were downsizing the health system, I was going to lose my job. And I thought, I could give them a call and maybe they could look after my needs. I said, oh, Peter, don't ever stoop to that.
You have a friendship far greater and more superior. They'll be gone from the Prime Minister's office in months or years. But you have someone that's seated in heaven, and he knows your every need, and he cares for you.
Personal friend. The highest act of friendship is when someone gives their life for another. Have you ever appreciated this act of friendship? When the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life, Romans 5 says, even when we were enemies, he died for us. Could you find greater love than that? What a personal friend, unmerited love. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, those who think their head and shoulders above the rest. I came not to call the righteous. I came to call, there it is, sinners to repentance. Is there anyone here and you've heard his voice calling you? You say, I don't want to take that place as a sinner. That's the only ones he's calling. Nobody else. Sinners. Sinners. Personal friend. I can tell you that he's not just a personal friend. He's a prodigal's friend. God is calling the prodigal come. He's got a tender heart towards those who've been away from him. A tender heart to those, yes, who have wandered in the paths of sin. A prodigal life in that respect. Or could it be a prodigal life in business? It could be a prodigal life as a down and outer, or a prodigal life as a respectable citizen of Canada, but away, away from the Father's home. And he is the prodigal's friend, unconditional love. You see him, the man of Gadara. Look at him meeting that need. The beggar in rags, the woman at the well, Mary Magdalene. He goes after individuals. Thrills my heart. I love actually going down to rough parts of cities and spending my time down there, because there are a lot of prodigals, and you don't have to tell them they're prodigals. They know they're prodigals. They know they're sinners. You don't have to convince them. They know that they're cut off from God and that they have a tremendous need. There may be someone here tonight and that's your state, but you don't even know. You've never acknowledged it. I just had a recent joy. I've used her in the gospel quite a bit, but I actually met her a couple of weeks ago. But in 1999, I sent an email to Halifax, and it was intercepted by a lady in Toronto. And she said, I want you to know your friend never got his email. I have it. And she said, I assume you are a Christian by what you put in your letter. And I wrote her back. And I said, I am. What are you? And that started a 2-year correspondence by email. She was a witch, a dark witch, serving one of the mightiest demons, as she understood it, in Satan's hierarchy. And I would write her, and she would send me the darkest, most blasphemous emails, every swear word that you would ever hear in the toughest place where men may hang out, were in her emails when you reference Christ or the Lord Jesus. And I remember one time writing her, and I have all her emails. I was telling her last week, I have all your emails. She said, I have decided that I like the darker side of life and of death. I enjoy embracing this darkness. Is my choice etched in stone? Yes, it is. I like creating chaos. I relish the darkness. I cherish the darkness, Peter. Hatred and anger are by far my most valued friends. I have given myself over mind, body, and heart, and soul, and spirit to this one. I've made a deal, an oath, a pledge to him to serve him for as long as I'm physically capable of doing so. I have no desire to be freed from his power. It is that power and that darkness that I hold close to my bosom. Freely chosen, I freely gave and freely give myself to him. I was not coerced. I was not forced. I was not flattered. She went on to tell me how she had committed her life to Satan. And we wrote, kept telling her, praying for her. God loved her. Christ died for her sins. I got an email about 6 years after and said, Preacher Ramsey. I wrote back, yes, I do remember you. I said, I want you to know that I trusted Christ as my Savior. She said, you knew that I hated your God, but you never knew how deep my hatred was to your God. It was intense, she said. She said, I thought my master was almighty and all powerful, but life was on a downward spiral. And she said, I thought of your God. And he said, he was under no obligation to respond to me in any way after how I treated him. But I said to your God, Peter, if you are the living almighty God, here are four things that I need you to do in my life as it's spiraling downward. And she said, your God responded to my four requests. Now that told me the goodness of God leads sinners to repentance. She said, I just said, Satan, you're out. Christ, you're in. She said, no rushing wind, no flashing lights, a simple choice. So I'd never met her until 2 weeks ago. Asked another sister she'd meet me at this lady's place. The three of us sat down and I looked at his Bible and all the verses underlined in Isaiah 53 and notes in the margins of her Bible. And I was just reminded afresh, God's love for a prodigal, God's love for a witch, God's love for a blasphemer. And to think that she is enjoying Christ in her little apartment in poverty. Her heart is thrilled with the Lord Jesus Christ. She has found out that he is a far superior friend to anything she'd ever known under the powers of darkness. Friend, we want to recommend the Lord Jesus Christ to you. He's a personal friend. He's a prodigal's friend. And he's a continual friend. Some of you know what it's like to be jilted. You think you're just gaining some ground with a friend and you're building a relationship. And all of a sudden they let you down. And you're sad for a couple of days. Someone's broken your heart. Well, Marianne Nunn wrote these words about the friend that sticks closer than her brother. He's not a fair-weather friend. She wrote, one there is above all others. Oh, how he loves. His is love beyond a brother's. Oh, how he loves. And then those words, earthly friends may fail or leave us. One day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will never deceive us. Oh, how he loves. Do you know anything about this? One, the Lord Jesus. Finally, I can tell you, he is an eternal friend. Eternal. A friend forever. It's sad to go through life without a friend like this. Are we looking into the faces of someone this afternoon? And you're going to be without a friend for all eternity, alone, while others that you know are basking eternally in the sunshine of his love, enjoying their eternal friend. I can't think of anything worse than to being alone for all eternity without a friend. For the child of God, we can say nothing can ever separate us from his love. Nothing. Above, below, nothing, Romans 8. Nothing can shake our security with his friend. That's John 10 and 28. I give unto them eternal life, eternally secure. Is he your friend? Do you know him? Can you say, yes, I know him. He is a friend of sinners. He befriended me, and I love him. He is my Savior.
What an awful prospect, to be without a friend for all eternity, without Christ, without a Savior, to be lost, eternally lost, but it doesn't have to be. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save you, my friend. Have you accepted him as your own personal Savior and friend? You need to. You need to acknowledge your sin. You need to take your place as a sinner for whom Christ longs to befriend. He died for sin on the cross. Trust him today, won't you? If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you would like some literature that would help you understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at anchorpointradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our Anchor Point website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. Our Anchor Point messages are also available for listening and download at anchorpointradio.com. My name is Glenn Todd. Thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.